Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ontex Full Year 2018 Results Conference Call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Charles Boissier, Chief Executive Officer, and Charles Desmarais, Chief Financial Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcement and presentation are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Philippe Ludwig, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everybody. I'm Philippe Ludwig, Head of Investor Relations at Ontex Group. I'd like to welcome you to this investor and analyst call to discuss Ontex's full year 2018 results, which were published this morning. Before we start the call, just a very couple of housekeeping items to remind or to take note of. Firstly, all definitions of alternative performance measures, APMs, in our press release and presentation can be found in note five of the notes to the consolidated financial information in our press release. In addition, and as in the case in the past, unless otherwise indicated, all comments on changes in revenue are on a like-for-like basis. Now I would like to hand the call over to Charles Boissier for his opening comments.
Thank you, Philippe, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for attending our full year 2018 results conference call. Joining me today, our CFO, Charles Desmarais, and Head of Investor Relations, Philippe Ludwig, that you just heard. Today, I will provide some brief remarks on 2018 highlights and an overview of our progress against the objectives we set out at the beginning of last year. Charles Desmarais, who became CFO on January 1st, will provide an overview of the 2018 financial results before I wrap up our prepared remarks, including our outlook. After that, we would be happy to take your questions. Let's not wait, and let's get started, and let's move on slide number five. Group revenue in 2018 stood at 2.29 billion euro, despite intense Forex headwinds of over 100 million euro. By far, the most adverse we have faced since the IPO. Like-for-like revenue was up 1.7%, in line with our guidance of low single-digit growth for the year, in what were broadly flat personal hygiene markets, driven this performance by enhanced geographic and product portfolio. Improved pricing and mix more than offset lower volume. Excluding Brazil, 2018 like-for-like revenue would have been 70 basis points, 70, higher, which translated into 2.4% like-for-like growth. Important to note that revenue in Brazil, in local currency, increased sequentially in each quarter of 2018. In 2018, our adjusted EBITDA at constant currency amounted to 261 million euro and was, on a reported basis, at 234 million euro. Adjusted EBITDA margin at constant currency was at 10.9%. Our reported adjusted EBITDA margin was at 10.2%, and excluding Brazil, it stood at 11%. I would like to highlight the sequential improvement in each quarter of 2018, which demonstrates that while there is still much work to do, our turnaround is well on track. Rather exceptionally, we have provided several different EBITDA figures, but anyway, one looks at it in light of both worsening Forex and much higher raw material costs, we had a resilient performance thanks to pricing, mix actions, and significant cost savings across the group, which, by the way, has always been part of the DNA of Ontex. Consequently, our net debt was at €760 million, and the leverage ratio remained at 3.25 times, well within our debt covenant. I'm pleased to see an improvement in free cash flow, which Charles will touch on in his remarks. Finally, Ontex will propose a gross dividend of 41 cents per share, in line with Ontex policy to pay out 35% of our net profits. Now, turning to slide 6, we made very good progress on our 2018 priorities in a challenging environment. The first priority was focus on profitability of core business. On that one, we achieved over 200 bps margin improvement from our savings program. We also implemented positive pricing actions in every division, and we benefited from a mix effect weighted towards higher margin products. However, those gains were offset by substantially higher raw material costs and forex headwinds. As far as our second priority, a more competitive growth portfolio, we invested in increased capacity to meet rising demand. We added additional capacity in faster-growing baby and adult pants, as there is a clear shift in both categories toward pants. We also inaugurated a new production facility in Poland, Radomsko, last month to meet the increased demand in Eastern Europe. Strong growth in North America, albeit, of course, off a small base, thanks to first retailer brand contract with a major customer, as well as a significant increase in organic cotton tampon sales in response to changing and evolving consumer trends. Last and not least, the third priority was to achieve sustainable improvements in Brazil. Our team in Brazil made substantial progress to improve our business in a sustainable way, leveraging the group's knowledge and capabilities, in addition to the sequential improvements in financial metrics. The year was extremely busy. From mid-year, we relaunched two of our baby diaper brands, Pom Pom and Kramer, with positive initial consumer feedback behind new technologies and new lines. We installed indeed and started proprietary production lines after consolidating two facilities into one. In fact, we are laying strong foundations for future growth, and we believe in the underlying long-term potential of this market, which is the fourth largest personal care market in our industry. Now, turning to slide 7, innovation is critical to our growth, whether with retailer brands or our own brands. And I'm proud to recognize just a few examples we picked up of innovations in 2018. I'll start with the largest category we operate in, that is the baby care category. We launched in Mexico ActiPants, a new core technology for baby diapers, focusing on use of sustainable alternatives, softness and absorption time, as well as change in closure systems. The core technology of those diapers improves baby comfort, provides high, long-lasting absorption and liquid acquisition to minimize skin contact and to prevent sagging. This translates, by the way, by a strong market share in retail segments while taking significant price increase in this category. Second and very important example is the Channel Core diaper. We also roll out our Channel Core baby diapers to to a greater number of retailer brand customers, mainly in Western Europe, ensuring and Eastern Europe, ensuring they can compete effectively with international brands that launched the Chanel technology 18 to 24 months ago. Now, switching to our second largest category, adult incontinence, more or less 30% of our revenues. We have introduced our new Campbell Light Inco range in Turkey, a new product with an exclusive light fit technology, an ultra-compacted core, answering several needs. The first need being security with maximal absorption system with an anti-leak barrier. Of course, comfort with a very super flexible materials and discretion as well with an ultra thin with odor neutralizing system. And finally, addressing the femininity criteria with a new shape and feminine design. Just would like you to remind you that since our IPO, our share in incontinence in Turkey moved from nearly two-thirds of markets into closer to 72% market share, with a significant improvement on the pricing. Last, on feminine care, we introduced our latest feminine care brand, Nats, and started selling on Alibaba in China. A new brand of tampons, towels, and panty liner that combine natural cotton technology and no-filter performance to provide a complete intimate care solution. Combination of naturalness and performance, and as such, is a unique proposition within our feminine care. Those products use 100% certified cotton, and the tampon has a sugarcane-based applicator. Let's move to slide number 8, our Transform to Grow program initiated and the new organization and reporting structure implemented. As you know, last year we started a comprehensive review of our business to improve the execution of our strategy. In Q4 2018, we initiated what we call Transform to Grow. T2G. Our comprehensive transformation program to enhance Ontex competitiveness and return to sustainable profitable growth. In this context, Thierry Navarre, with his amazing and profound knowledge of Ontex and our industry, has been appointed to the new role of Chief Transformation Officer, after serving for 10 years as Chief Operating Officer. We could not have a better person to lead this critical program that will bring us to the next stage. At the same time, after careful reflection on how far we have come in terms of reshaping our portfolio of geographies and balance of retail and own brands, we have revamped our organization in order to better leverage our strength and improve execution. As a consequence, the company's commercial activities are now organized in three divisions. Division Europe, which covers this large and broad geography, is predominantly focused on retail brands. Division Americas, Middle East, Africa, and Asia, AMEA, which is predominantly focused on our local brands. And last but not least, our healthcare division, which continues to focus on the institutional markets and dedicated incontinence Ontex brands. Well, the time was right to move from the five divisions we have had since 2016 to the three divisions we now have. This will provide stronger scale and agility and speed in order to react faster. In addition to those division changes, group manufacturing and supply chain have been regrouped into a newly created operations unit with a focus on production efficiency and customer service excellence. As a consequence, as of Q1 2019, Ontex revenue will be presented in accordance with these three commercial divisions, and you can find 2018 revenue restated accordingly in the appendix of our slides, as well as in the press release annexes. Now, before we move to the financial review, I would like to take this opportunity to deeply recognize and strongly thank former CFO Jacques Burnod, who, on a personal decision basis, decided to retire at the end of March after having played a key role in the development of Ontex since 2013. We all wish him many happy years ahead. I will now hand over to Charles Desmartis, who I'm very happy to welcome as our new CFO for the detailed 2018 financial review. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everybody. I'm very pleased to have joined Ontex this interesting time of the company. And to those on this call, I look forward to our future exchanges. So let me now dive into the numbers, starting on slide 10 with revenue. Charles already reported our 1.7% like-for-like revenue growth for 2018. Coming to Ontex with fresh highs, I can appreciate the benefits for us of increased our geographical presence with clear growth in developing markets such as Mexico, Algeria, and Ethiopia, among others. Our good execution in these markets led to like-for-like revenue growth in 4 out of 5 divisions and 3 out of 3 categories, with pricing actions and improved mix more than offsetting lower volumes. I'll touch on the adult inco category more in the next slide, but it remained an important driver again of our growth again in 2018. It has shown solid growth as we operate in a structurally growing market, and our product range and competitive position put us at the forefront to capitalize on that growth. We added additional capacity to ensure we are capturing our fair share of this market. Brazil revenue improved in local currency terms every quarter last year. It is encouraging to see this continued sequential improvement, which reflects, as Charles mentioned already, the hard work our local team to put the business fundamentals in place. Having worked in the Brazilian retail environment during the past few years, I recognize that there will be ups and downs in the short term as we adapt our commercial strategy to this unique market, but I see significant long-term potential for our business in that country. Reported revenue for 2018 was impacted by 102 million estimated foreign exchange headwinds, as Charles already mentioned, predominantly the Brazilian real, the Mexican peso, the Turkish lira, and the Russian ruble depreciated against the euro. Finally, as a final adjustment to understand our numbers, we reported an initial 2 months of sales in Ontex Brazil in 2018, had the acquisition of the business took place in March 2017. Now, moving now to slide 11 to review our performance in the three categories. Sales of our baby pants recorded strong growth, and many of our local Ontex branded diapers also showed solid growth in most of our markets. We invested in additional production capacity to meet the growing baby pants demand. Overall, though, baby care revenue was slightly lower due to a decrease of diaper sales, price increases, which implemented as necessary actions to support operating margins and allow further investment in innovation, did not fully offset volume losses. As expected, demand for adult pants continued to grow strongly. Adult incontinence is a key long-term growth category, and we're increasingly well-placed to serve customers around the world. in both institutional and retail channels. Indeed, we have leadership positions in Turkey, Brazil, and Mexico, and we are the largest supplier of retailer brands in Europe. Our sales in retail channels continue to grow strongly, up 9%. We also had higher sales in institutional channels. With this, adult incontinence had the highest category growth, with like-for-like revenue up almost 4%. Charles also mentioned products such as organic cotton tampons, for which demand grew fast in 2018, as consumers are increasingly moving to natural products, especially in the U.S. Overall, feminine care sales rose by 1.6%. Let's move now to the review of the performance of our four commercial divisions, and I will start with a mature market retail on page 12. Like-for-like revenue was down 1.8%, but that was against a very strong comparable base in 2017, when sales grew by 5.1% compared with the same quarter of 2016. This being said, baby and adult pens grew strongly, and we invested in additional capacity to address growing demand in these product lines and better serve our customers, like Charles already highlighted. We refer in particular to our new plant in Poland that we just inaugurated a few weeks ago. We implemented our pricing improvement plans across categories to mitigate the impact of higher raw material cost. For baby diapers, this did not fully offset lower volumes. As a meaningful feature of the market, we show in the lower graph, retailer brands have largely maintained their high market share across all categories as consumers continue to turn to attractive, cost-effective alternatives to international branded products. Moving now to the Americas Retail Division on page 13. Our like-for-like revenue growth of 4.5% was well ahead of the underlying market. Improved pricing and mix, as well as volume increases in most markets, drove our growth. We continue to post solid performance in Mexico, where local brands are continuing to gain market share, and we keep launching new innovative products that are being well received by consumers. Our performance in the U.S. was strong, of a small base, that's true, as mentioned previously. However, we see a major opportunity in the dollars. Finally, and again, as already stated, good progress in Brazil is encouraging as our turnaround plan is starting to show results. Moving now to page 14, healthcare. Like-for-like revenue grew by 0.8%, again outperforming the market, which we estimate is slightly decreasing in value. We added additional capacity in adult pens, which led to double-digit growth. We also focused on growing sales of our brands like Serenity and ID, and through self-pay channels such as pharmacies and home delivery. We've been investing in this product line, in innovation and capacity to fuel our growth market, as we believe this is a very attractive market. Please turn now to slide 15 for growth markets. We posted a very strong like-for-like revenue growth of 9.5%, well ahead of the market, primarily driven by higher volumes and improved mix toward adult and baby pants. We're seeing the benefit of increased investment over the past 2 years as retailer brands continue to gain share in these markets. Our business in Ethiopia grew as we're increasingly benefiting from the local production facility opened in 2017. We have faced increased price competition in Russia as players focused on gaining market share at the cost of margin as input cost inflation, largely driven by the weakening of the local currency, continued. On our side, we're remaining disciplined to ensure growth is achieved sustainably. Please move now to slide 16 for Middle East and North Africa. In this geography, our like-for-like growth in the second half of 2018 was double-digit. After a tough first half, we saw a drop in baby care volumes, mainly in Turkey and export markets. We are pleased with the top-end performance, given the volatile environment and weakened currencies. Turkish lira, but also the Algerian dinar and the Pakistani rupee. We took pricing actions to mitigate increased input costs due to weaker local currencies across our main countries. We also stepped innovation to increase consumer appeal, launched new commercial activities in stores to drive sales, and push volumes in our leading Inco brand, Canped, in Turkey. Our commercial initiatives were successful, and Ontex brands have gained 3% market share in both baby care in Algeria and adult Inco in Turkey. We're now done with our category and commercial division review, so we will move to the analysis or reporting results on slide 17. Gross margin decreased by 99 bips despite strong capture of savings and improved pricing and mix in the face of severe currency and input cost headwinds throughout the year. The EBITDA margin bridge presented in the chart shows the good resilience of our adjusted EBITDA margin at constant currency at 10.9%, considering that raw material increases alone accounted for more than 200% bips of margin pressure. We more than compensated this by pricing, mix, savings, and a slight improvement in Brazil before the impact of the Brazilian real devaluation against the euro. We invested 15 basis points into strengthening sales and marketing, where we believe this is necessary to support our products and brands today and in the future. Increase in higher other costs, which include manufacturing and supply chain, had an 88 basis point impact on our margin. This brought adjusted margin at constant currency to 10.9%. Now, taking into account the negative impacts of foreign currency variations of 102 million euros on sales and 27 million euros on EBITDA, for a negative impact of 68 basis points on margin, our reported EBITDA margin was 10.2%. Please turn now to slide 18, where we report on free cash flow generation. As Charles mentioned already, we are very pleased to report that despite the challenges we faced in 2018, Ontex has delivered a strong adjusted free cash flow generation performance with adjusted free cash flow of 80 million, up 12.8% or 9 million compared with 2017. Better management of receivables were the main contributor to this performance, so that despite higher inventory at year-end due to some strategic purchases toward the end of the year, our working capital requirements stood at 11.2% of full-year sales, well within our guidance of 12%. Cash taxes were lower, while CapEx also decreased in 2018, although we continued, as we mentioned earlier, to invest to add capacity in existing plants and opening new production facilities. So before I hand it over to Charles for his closing remarks, we would like to update you on the impact of the adoption of IFRS 16, which accounting for leases, which becomes effective as from the 1st of January of this year. Our assessment indicates that applying IFRS 16 would have had a positive impact of roughly 28 to 30 million euros on our 2018 adjusted EBITDA. It would add an additional 147 million to both our total assets and lease liabilities at the end of last year. So while this is an assessment based on last year's figures, it is clear that IFRS will have a noticeable impact starting in 2019. To conclude, it's important to add that the covenants for debt financing will not be affected by the change. In other words, the calculation of leverage for the purpose of covenant compliance will continue to be made with EBITDA and net debt determined in accordance with the prior standard. I will now hand it back to Charles for his concluding remarks, and thank you for attention.
Thank you, Charles. Let's move on to our outlook for 2019 on slide 21. We expect top-line growth in developing markets, which we see as confirming our long-term strategy, reflecting share gains in most of our branded businesses. However, we anticipate lower revenue in our more developed markets, such as Europe, driven mainly by some volume decreases on the retail brand side. We expect to improve adjusted EBITDA at constant currency irrespective of the impact of IFRS 16, which, as Charles just explained, should give a meaningful uplift to EBITDA as from 2019. These results expected will be done in spite of a slow start in Q1 2019 due to continued, but stabilizing at least for the moment, raw material and forex headwinds. Indeed, those headwinds were still strong on Q4, and the tail of those headwinds will be in Q1. Our pricing, mix improvement and cost-saving actions, as most of the years, should start taking effect in the second half of the year. As a consequence of our increased international footprints, going forward, we will report adjusted EBITDA at constant currency alongside like-for-like revenue, as they provide a fairer measure of our underlying performance. Now, let me go to slide 22. I would like to tell you that we will host an investor update event on Wednesday, May 8, 2019, the day of our Q1 2019 trading update. The trading update conference call for investors and analysts will take place at 9 a.m. CET, 8 a.m. UK time, with a meeting for investors and analysts in London, following later on the same day. The event will be hosted by members of the Ontex management team and will provide an update on Ontex strategy and its implementation, leveraging the outcome of our T2G, Transform to Grow, program currently underway. We hope to look forward to seeing you there. This concludes our presentation. Thank you very much for your attention. And I'm now opening the floor for a Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And if you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. We ask the participants to limit their questions to 2 per participant. Once again, it's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment. We will take our first question from Richard Whittigan from Kepler. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Let me ask two questions. First of all, in the strategy update, you talk about a focus on competitive differentiators. Could you give a bit more detail on that? You know, which differentiators does Ontex have? Which are the main ones for you? And then the second question I have is on the cost efficiencies or cost savings. In 2018, your margin benefited by about 210 basis points from all kinds of cost savings initiatives. Can you give a little bit more detail in what areas you realized those savings? And should this continue also at more or less the same pace in 2019?
Okay. Thanks for the question. So let me start with the first one, focus on competitive differentiators. Well, I think the first and foremost differentiation is we are the only players in the large-scale players to be 100% focused on personal care. We are the only one that is just making, selling, and delivering baby care, femme care, and incontinence products. As a consequence, the second element is we are also very focused on two types of brands, our retailer brands on one side and our own brands on the other side. And again, how we translate, it means that on one side we get the knowledge and we get and build the capability on understanding the consumer through our own brands lenses and using the knowledge of those lenses to reflect in terms of fast follower approach on the retail brand side. The third element is that our footprint starts being diversified, and as you've seen, it brings resilience into our performance. As for 2018, we faced the highest input cost ever had in this industry. And as Charles highlighted, we succeeded to maintain a 50 bps negative impact on a like-for-like basis. So in terms of differentiators, it relates to the people, to the footprint, and to the specificity of our model. On the cost-efficient part, as we've been telling for 5 years, it's part of the DNA of the company. Ontex has always been focusing on savings and improvement of the products to make sure that we were delivering very good, outstanding products at the lowest possible cost. This is not changing. This translated, as Charles highlighted, in 210 bps improvement in cost saving in 2018. We are working in the same direction in 2019. What I would say that the difference is that on top of that, we have engaged into a transformation to grow program. And of course, on this transformation to grow program, the purpose of our meeting in May is to get into more detail and provide you more data and the logic behind in all the stones that we turn into our organization. The T2G program addresses all the elements of the P&L. So it goes beyond the product in terms of cost saving. So I think it's a bit early or probably frustrating, but the logic is to wait a little bit more to give you the details. But that's the engagement we take, and it's beyond, by the way, 2019. It's a program that has an impact and implications on the years after 2019, of course.
Yeah, that's clear. Thanks, Charles. Just can I squeeze in one more? I mean, you give market shares for quite a few markets, but not for Brazil, if I have paid attention. I mean, how? What's your market share in Brazil? How has it evolved in 18?
So it's a good question. And when we say we brought sustainability and we clean, in fact, the position, so restate the position in Brazil, as you know, we operate in two categories in Brazil. We operate on baby care and we operate on incontinence. On the two categories, we lost a little bit of share, but we maintain our leadership position into the incontinence. Behind the brand, and the largest brand is Big Fral, that is extremely well known in the Brazilian market. And we are above the 20% market share, and we are a clear number one on this category, and we also have a strong share into the pharmacy channel. On the other part, on baby category, we are in the range of between 11 and 12% market share, and we are number three and a clear number three in the category as well. And again, we expect that the introduction of new technologies and new products behind the brands, as I mentioned, will have long-lasting effects. But as you know, on the market share side, it takes a while before you really step change the growth, because you need to generate trial, knowledge of the product, appreciation, and then repurchase. So this is a long-lasting journey, but as we said when we made this transaction, we are confident that we are investments and the new technologies we brought in Brazil, this will help us to bring sustainable growth in the future.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Alan van der Berge from KBC Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my questions. I will also limit myself to two. The first one is on the appointment of Thierry as a Chief Transformation Officer. I was wondering if he would combine his job with his former COO position, or if you would start looking for a new COO. And then looking a bit further, I suppose that the transformation is by definition temporary. What will happen with Thierry once the transformation is completed? And then on your guidance, I was wondering if you could be a bit more precise in terms of sales development. You seem to indicate that you expect developing markets to grow while mature markets will maybe a bit, contract a bit. So I was wondering if for the group you could give an indication or maybe tell if you're confident with the level of consensus today. And then obviously I understand that you'll be reporting EBITDA or adjusted EBITDA going forward on a constant currency basis. But do you think that your adjusted EBITDA can grow faster than the sales development you have in mind? Thank you.
Well, thanks for the questions. I'm very glad you ask a question on people, because I still believe that people are the essence of success in companies. And as I highlighted, Thierry has been my partners for 6 years of first transformation of Ontex on the operational side. He's got an amazingly deep knowledge of the industry, of the categories, and of the company. And this is why it was totally logical to put him in a position to lead the whole transformation and the next step of the transformation for Ontex to reset the company for the next 5 years. So I think it's, for me, it was a pleasure that he accepted to take this challenge. We are very close, and we are on a daily basis interacting. So life, the great part of life is, by definition, we are also interacting on the operational side, and I take all the advice and experience from Thierry every day. Now, to your question, which is a logical one, is the position of CEO will be replaced, or who will replace the CEO role? The decision we took together is that I will take, in fact, the operational role as the CEO of the company. So the three divisions are reporting to me directly. And, of course, Thierry is sitting next to me and still supporting me in not only the transition, but in the future of the organization. Now, nicely, you ask a second question for Thierry is, what will be the future after a couple of years? Because, as you rightly said, the Transform to Grow program is more than 24 months. My expectation is the success of the transformation will bring bigger growth opportunities. This is as simple as that. And our ambition, as we said, is to double the size of the company every 5 years. You could argue that we slightly missed the first target because we are slightly below the doubling of the size in terms of revenue. Even though we had a lot of Forex headwinds that didn't help. But the ambition is still to double in the next 5 years. And as you know, it will be a combination of organic growth and external growth. And that's business growth translates into people growth. So I'm really convinced that there will be even a bigger potential job for Thierry there. And that's the deal we have together. So I'm not worried at all for that one. And I think he's not as well. On the second question, of the third one, sorry, because in fact you're very smart, you ask four questions. The third one is the guidance, more precise on the top line growth. As you probably remember, at the time of the IPO, our revenue base was 2/3 in euro and 1/3 in other currencies. And now it's reverted. It's 2/3 in external currencies and only 1/3 in euro. So, of course, we are very vigilant because, by definition, we don't have a clear outlook on the currency evolution. And this is why, for us, it's very important to report at the constant currency and avoid the gaps that are generated by the fluctuation of currencies. Having said that, in terms of, even though we have those challenges, what we said is, yes, the developing markets, which are really AMEA, will grow, and we expect to gain share and grow top line. Whereas, as we said also, and you rightly spotted, on Europe, on the Europe division, we expect to get a decrease. And by the way, healthcare has still been gaining share in the last 6 years, even though it's not very exciting because the category are rather flat and the market are even declining. I think it could be a big miss not to mention that our healthcare team has done a great job by growing share step by step every year and improving the mix in terms of geographic mix as well as category mix and channel mix. So having said that, the net of the two, I would say at the group level, which was your question, we are expecting a flattish performance, but in a flat declining market overall. So again, our ambition is to bring an outperformance versus the overall market growth. And that's what matters, and that's fundamental. So the second part that is very important, because your question was on the revenue, is on the bottom line. We really expect to improve adjusted EBITDA at constant currency, even though we have a slow start in the Q1, and of course it's a moderate expansion, as you can imagine, and part of it will also be depending on the evolution of our commodities and Forex, which are rather hard to anticipate. Not the Forex, by the way, because that's constant currency. So I think I answered your question, if I'm not misled.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Eric Wilmer from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Based on the 11% adjusted EBITDA margin you presented, excluding Brazil, it seems to signal that Brazil currently makes around 3% adjusted EBITDA margin. Where do you foresee the adjusted EBITDA margin of Brazil to end up at the end of this year? And secondly, if I may, regarding the upcoming strategic review, I was wondering whether you will be presenting hard savings targets. Thank you.
So two questions. The first one is on EBITDA margin on Brazil. We don't give, and I'm really sorry, I don't like to be like this, but we don't give guidance on specific markets or specific figures, especially on EBITDA. So what we said is it's sequential improvement over time. And again, you could not like it, but my logic is to transform Brazil on the long term. It's the fourth largest market in the world. We are the market leader on incontinence and the third player on baby diaper. Our ambition is to strengthen our position, both on the top line and, of course, on the bottom line. We are currently investing in Brazil, and the measure of success is to regain share on one side while steadily and sequentially improving profitability. On your second question, the question was on the savings or hard savings in terms of the 2019 business performance. Again, I would say, and you have to forgive me to be a little bit patient, but the logic is we want to provide you with an exhaustive view of all the stone we turn and we are turning. And this is through our T2G and transformation work and work stream that we are doing it. And by the way, it's not only about saving, it's value creation. Huh? And if you know value creation, what matters is a combination of the top line and the leverage behind it, the share gains, the way we can get faster and better cost avoidance and cost savings. So it's all of this. It's a heavy work. It's probably heavier than anybody could anticipate because we really want to look exhaustively at all elements of our operations and business. And this is why I ask you a little bit of patience, but I hope you won't be disappointed, more the opposite, by attending our conference in May 8th in London, in the afternoon probably, the same day after the call. And I'm sure that we will answer lots of your questions.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Faham Baig from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Hi guys, thanks for the question. My first question is on pricing. And the dynamics in the different regions you operate, because with the decrease in your margins, your gross margins, that is, which are probably 200 to 300 basis points where you'd like them to be, do you think you'll be able to realize pricing that will allow you to get there, or are the conditions difficult such that it has to be driven by internal measures? That's my first question. And secondly, could I get a bit more clarity on your outlook, some of the other moving parts, for example, foreign exchange and raw mats, if prices were to remain as they are today, how do you see the headwind or tailwind? And on CapEx, how do you foresee this in 2019 as well? Thanks.
Okay, so let me start with the first one that is a very important one on pricing. You stated that, in fact, there's no correlation in terms of the gross margin and the ability to take pricing. In all fairness, it's a very valid financial question, but the reality operationally, what helps us to drive pricing is a combination of different parameters. There's one parameter that we play on the channel mix. Okay, you have different channels, especially on the branded part. You are in wholesaler, we are in classic retail, and we are in modern trade. And the team in every market is looking at the pricing from a channel perspective. That's one element. The second element is we play also on pricing depending on the categories. Between baby diapers and baby pants, you have a different pricing architecture, different pricing position versus competition, and they also adjust the pricing strategy depending on those categories. The third element is when you're the market leader in one market, the tradition, if the strategic book would tell you that the logic is you take the pricing as the market leader and the challengers are following. And the matter of this is it relies into the price gap versus competition. I always keep telling is the ability to take pricing is driven by the consumers. Are they willing to pay a higher price for our products? And as a consequence, one way of addressing the pricing is to provide innovation behind our products. So the logic of pricing is, of course, it's easier to take price increase when you bring something new to the party. This is why in the presentation, I pick up some example of initiatives that are bringing innovation, and we consider that this innovation helps us to take pricing. This is one example in Brazil. We brought new technology, improved products, and that facilitates our ability to take pricing. Is it a walk in the park? No. By definition, pricing is always a challenge because retailers don't like pricing, and consumers don't enjoy pricing unless there is a good value proposition, and this is the job we do. So, indeed, we expect going forward to continue to take pricing, irrespective, by the way, of the environment. And we have also to take into account inflation as well. Some markets have where we take pricing, it's also to offset part of the inflation that we are incurring in those markets. But net, we have been able to take pricing in every division in the previous years, and it's part of the DNA. And it's the new way of doing business in Ontex. The last part in the IPO and after in lots of quarter review, we also talk about margin power. Because there's two parameters to drive margin. Huh? There's the pricing, but there is the cost structure. And the logic is we are working extensively on improving our cost structure of the products. So it's product reengineering. We are very blessed to get an amazing lady running our R&D sustainability and quality function, Annick de Porter, that is also a veteran in the organization. She knows the categories extremely well. And we work permanently on improving, you know, the product spec to reduce the costs, the bill of material, and also the transformation costs. So those elements are leading us to expect that, yes, we will be in a position to offset the headwinds that we have. And that's a good gateway to the second part of your question regarding the headwinds and the tailwinds. You said, and you rightly said, on Forex and raw material. So unfortunately on Forex, I cannot comment because I'm like you, I'm reading the documents about Forex evolution, but I have no clue on where they go. We just need to be agile, and we are acting or reacting depending on the currencies and depending on the position in the markets. Huh? Whether on raw material, as we said, is Q1, we are still getting the headwinds of last year, and that's the tail normally of the headwinds. That's what I said in the outlook, which means that between the lines, you could read that as of Q2, Q3, Q4, we could, and I use the word could because there's no guarantee, but we could expect that there would be a slowdown or a slight decrease on some indices. But again, I said would be a could because there's no guarantee. Yeah? But that's of course would be a positive sign after several quarters of amazing increase to an all-time high on fluff, for example. The last part you mentioned is CapEx, and I'm glad you raised also that question because if you look at 2018, we managed to reduce a little bit. We gave a guidance that was slightly higher than where we landed. So the team has done a fantastic job of managing the CapEx, and it's not by making shortcuts, but adjusting some of the elements. So it's one variable where it's really linked to the operations. And as you know, for instance, when we do our machines with our Jupiter lines on baby diaper, we create lines that are cheaper, but as good or even better than competitive lines sometimes, depending on the markets we operate. And that contributes to make efficiency to our CapEx level. So the logic is we are very prudent, and it's a very important adjustment variable also in terms of cash. So it's something that we monitor on a quarterly basis. And the guidance is still there because we are for the long term, and it's very important that we are investing behind our technologies and behind the innovation of our brands. So for the model, I would keep the same type of guidance in terms of CapEx as we had last year. I hope I answered your question.
Yes, thanks. Can I just have a quick follow-up? Working capital. The inventories increased quite sharply last year. Was there a reason behind that?
This is Charles D. answering. I briefly touched on the matter in my comment. Yeah, at the end of last year, considering the movement we've seen in the year on raw materials, and we took opportunity of a few contracts to build what we call strategic inventory in some raw materials. So this was done in a very deliberate way, and we made sure that this would not hurt our working at the end of the year. So we had specific agreements with some suppliers to finance this inventory for part of the first quarter of this year. So we have ambitious working capital further reduction objective for this year, which will attach all the lines of the working capital from receivables to inventory and also payables.
Thanks.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Reg Watson from ING. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, Charles. I'd like to come back to the subject of the top-line guidance. I appreciate your observations about FX volatility, so I won't focus on the developing markets part. But the lower revenue in developed markets, please could you elaborate on the factors that are feeding into that, and could you please be more specific about how much of an impact you expect to see, given that we've seen already in 2018 MMR was down 2%.
Yeah, so again, on developing markets, I understand that you got the fact that it's there is forex volatility, but it's clear that we expect growth on a constant currency basis because we expect to gain share in several markets. As far as the developed market, which is a European base, as I said, it's a pure translation of some volume losses that translate into revenue loss. So it's not in terms of recognition, it's not a mix effect, it's a pure translation of the volume losses. So we don't give...
What's causing the volume losses?
Well, we took some price increases to reflect the commodity or the raw material increases in the last five, 6 quarters. And as you can suspect, some of our partners consider that they can find other cheaper products or a different pricing architecture to competition. And in all fairness, competition, if they have a lot of excess capacity, are willing to drop prices to fill their lines and make sure that they can use their capacity. This is not our case. We also experienced some service level issues, as we said last year, because we were running at full speed everywhere. So part of the game is also to accept to take some pricing and accept to lose some volume, but help us on at least on rebasing our business and make sure that we are not in a hitting mode from an operation standpoint. And this is what we did.
Okay. But that, I mean, that was, it felt to me like that was the story for 2018, but it feels like 2019 is going to be a rerun of 18. And if it is, then I guess the logical question is, when does this end?
Well, first of all, you know, it's a never-ending story, and there's ups and downs. So if you expect me to tell you that there will be ups and downs, the answer is yes, and it depends on the wins and losses. And the wins and losses are, by the way, beyond the customer we have. There's customer that we have never entered, and we expect one day to enter. So I think it's part of it. We lost 3 years ago Asda and Tesco, and a part of them. And by the way, when we say lost customer, it's one line of product within a customer. And everybody was telling, okay, it's the end of the story. And then we say, no, we will get back to growth the year after, which happened. So I think for me, it's almost the same. And when you say it's the same story in 18 and 19, no, it's the story, it's more on the back of 18, and then the consequence is we enter 19 like this, and we'll get the impact on 19. But the beginning of 18 was a positive. Huh? It came later in the year as negative. Just to restate the fact.
So although 18 was net negative, this is a hangover into 19, and the tail of 19 is not going to be positive enough to offset the continued problem from 18.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on a quarterly basis as we do in terms of the evolution, because we have a quarterly outlook in our trading updates. But our objective is clearly to gain share in all the divisions. We gain share in two divisions, as Charles said, Charles D, we gain share in four out of five divisions we grew last year. Now we'll have three divisions. It's clear that we expect to continue to grow share in two of the three divisions, which doesn't mean that we are just sitting and waiting for the last one, that is the Europe division. And we'll keep you posted, but our objective is to get back to growth. Huh? There's nothing more than that. Now we need to reflect the reality. Huh? We took the conscious decision of losing some customers on behalf of price increase. This is part of it. As I used to say in previous calls, what I don't like is the bad surprise and when it's not anticipated. It was part of the strategy. The strategy delivered the results, and the results were expected. In terms of mix, it has a different spin on the mix. But as a consequence, our MEA and healthcare divisions are weighting slightly higher relative to the size of the group in the next quarters. I personally don't believe it's a bad change.
Yeah. Before I let you go then, just 2018 MMR was down 2%, 2.3%. Would you be disappointed if you get another repeat of that?
Sorry, I didn't. Would I be disappointed
Would you be disappointed if it was down 2% in 19?
No, I would not be disappointed. But again, we won't play around the figures because we don't give specific figures. But yeah, no, you're right. We are not disappointed because it's, as I told you, it's a conscious decision. We know that we are losing some contracts on the back of price increase and on back of capacity. So on this one, we know it, and the consequence it will be a decrease. And by the way, on a full year basis, yes, it needs to be negative, or it has to be negative. It's more mathematical, as you said.
Yeah. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Welcome. Probably the last.
Thank you.
So I suggest we go for the last question because it's 10:05.
Okay. We will now take our last question from Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer from Degroof Petercam. Happy to take the last question. Most have been answered, but I have one left. On your reporting segment, or you're changing that, does that also mean that you're going to give less disclosure on, let's say, what's happening in the categories in that respect? And are you willing, as from now on, to also then provide margins per segment, on EBITDA margin per segment going forward?
Well, I can answer part of it, but we know for a while, and also I don't know what you mean by less disclosure, but the reality is we are disclosing our top line by segments. So we had five segments, so we were reporting before by divisions, the five divisions. And now we'll get three divisions, so we will report the figures within the three divisions. And by the way, on the previous question, it's clear that it's not anymore MMR, it's called Europe, and by Europe you have Eastern Europe as well. So it will be it's an expanded geography versus MMR. So this will not change, or I think it will be a different set of figures adjusted to the new way we are operating. But that's one element. And on the EBITDA, we have one EBITDA reporting, and this will continue as is. There's no plan to change this.
But
we'll still, by the way, report by category, because you say we are not, but we are giving the reporting by categories. We report by on the three categories where we operate, so baby care, fem care, and incontinence. We report by geographies also our growth, whether it's Europe or the different rest of the world and Americas and so on. So, and we report by the commercial divisions that are purely focusing on our consumer and customer base. and we have just reflect the new way we are structuring our operations, that is the those three commercial divisions. So I don't think there is any change in the way we do it. It's a change driven by the operational change, but nothing different.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions. At this time, I'd like to hand it back over to the speakers for any additional closing remarks.
Okay. Well, thank you all for joining us today. 2018 was certainly a challenging year, yet we made major progress on our three main priorities. We delivered low single-digit like-for-like revenue growth in flat markets, translating into share gains, and a resilient adjusted EBITDA. So we are, as a team, working hard to improve our performance and accelerate the transformation of Ontex. And we really look forward to speaking with you on May 8th at our investor update. I wish you a very good day, and thanks again for the call. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This concludes Ontex Full Year 2018 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.